This shit is exclusive. Hello everyone, welcome back to the Flat Out Podcast. My name is Victor Komoniba, I'm the host of the show. Glad to be here today. We all know the vibes, the playoffs is here. And yes, I just want to rant. It's going to be a pretty short episode. I just want to talk about a few things I've noticed and a few games I've watched. Yeah, we've seen games 1, 2. Philly played game 3 yesterday against Toronto, which they won on a buzzer beater by Joel Embiid. But yeah, it's everything that we expect the playoffs should be. Although some people are saying because Lakers and LeBron is not in, it makes it watered down. Well, we all know that's a lie. Just LeBron fans trying to downplay greatness that we see every now and then. Oh, man. Well, before I go on, please subscribe to the channel. Subscribe to all platforms, man. Anyone that you use, it is on there. This show is definitely there. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Anchor. And yes, we just launched our website. So instead of going all the way to those podcast platforms, you can check our website out. It's theflatoutshow.com. We've got two podcast shows on there. The Flat Out Podcast and Football Yarns with Benji. Collective effort. We are growing together. So please check out our website, theflatoutshow.com. Yeah, let's get into the juice of the episode. The Brooklyn Nets Boston, the series of the first round, for sure. I said it after the first game that that's the one I want to watch. That's the one everyone needs to see. Boston leads 2-0 after yesterday's win, one over from the buzzer beater by Jason. And yesterday they overcame a 17-point deficit in the first half. I'm like, what's going on? But yeah, we know what is going on. The defense is suffocating everybody. Everybody. They are jumping at everything. They are contesting every shot. They are getting rebounds. Everything is working for them. Although game one was pretty close because they did a great job in game one. Denying KD, stopping the other guys. But Kyrie took over and all that stuff. But you are showing in game two that defense matters. If you're going to win a championship, you've got to be able to play defense. All of you that say in the NBA they don't play defense, now you're watching it, that's if they even watch the game. I'm not going to forget to do that. Brooklyn Nets has to do better. KD and Kyrie have to be 100. When I say 100, they should be able to drop 30 each for them to win a game. But will they be able to? First game, they combined for 62. Even with Durant having an off night. Yesterday, Kyrie scored 10. 10 points. It will not work that way if you really want to beat the Boston Celtics. And going back to Brooklyn, I don't see them playing great in four games. Like Charles Barkley said, can they be great in four games? I don't think so. I also feel like Steve Nash has a part to play in this. You can't call out plays or set up plays where Durant will always have to go ISO with one guy. Because if you watch those games and you watch the replays a lot, you have 10 eyes on this man every time he has the ball. Every time he's on top of the key or he's initiating a move from the elbow. Anywhere he is, you got 10 eyes looking at him. You have to create plays, get some other people open, get him running off pick, or you get another shot creator like Dragic, who played incredible in the first game coming off the bench, and he also did great in the second game. But you have to be able to put those guys in different situations and not just hope that, okay, this guy is going to get hot and from that every other person is going to feed off him. You have to coach right now. You have to coach. But the players, man, you're all-stars, you're superstars. KD, Kyrie, you guys have to get 30 points a game. You should be able to score at least 16 together. You should be able to. But that defense is remarkable what Boston is doing, man. It's remarkable. Everyone is locked in. The game one, you could see it in their eyes that these guys want to win. They want to win so bad. I just want to enjoy the series. Like I said, it's the series of the first round. Golden State Nuggets. Do Nuggets really have a chance? Let's be realistic. I don't think so. I picked Jokic over Embiid to win MVP, and I'll stand by that. Man's incredible. Even with the two games that they've lost, he did his bit. He was ejected in the game too. But yeah, he can't do it alone. The force of the Golden State Warriors is just overwhelming. Their offensive power is incredible. And they've got everybody who is ready to put their body on the line for the other person to be able to succeed. That's the crazy thing. That selflessness about the team, that everyone can eat off, can feed off the energy of another person. Nuggets don't just have those guys on the perimeter to withstand that. Defensively, they are not a great team. Offensively, right now, they are not. They are missing Jamal Murray. They are missing Michael Porter. So everything is on Jokic to play, make, to score, to do all this stuff. And you've got Golden State, who play really good defense. They might not be great defensively. They don't have size, but they're very mobile. They communicate a lot. They get their hands in the lane. They contest shots. They go after rebounds. They got guys that are hungry. So it is not going to happen. I'm not going to call it a sweep, but 4-1, maybe, maybe not. Maybe the Nuggets can pull up a win game 3 or game 4. I don't know. If the Golden State Warriors got off night, they're not shooting great. I think they can pull a win or so. But nah, they're definitely not winning this series without their superstar in the backcourt. They're not doing anything without Jamal Murray and Michael Porter. Honestly speaking, there's no one on that team right now that I can point out that will say, oh, you can guard Poole and he's not gonna get at least 15-20. You can guard Steph. No one is even guarding Steph. Let's get out of the way. No one is guarding Steph. He came off the bench and scored 30. What exactly are we saying? What exactly are we saying? That man is insane. I know they've not faced a proper defensive team. If they get matched up with Phoenix sometime, maybe that will be a different discussion, because they've got players in the back who can actually defend and can get buckets. And they've got a lot bigger team. We got the Jay Crowder is 6'6", Cam Johnson is like 6'9", Michael Bridges is 6'7", 6'5", and like that. They've got bigger players. So that will definitely be a problem for the Golden State Warriors. But right now, Nuggets, nothing. 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 Let's even move over to the Suns. Devin Booker scored 31 in the first half without a freaking free throw. This is not a series we should talk about too much, because we know the Suns are going to win. Regardless of the Pelicans picking up the win in their last game, we know the Suns are going to beat them. But without Devin Booker, it's going to be a little more difficult, definitely. That guy is a walking bucket. He's mastered his game. I won't say he has mastered the game, but he has mastered his game and he's comfortable. He knows how to win at this point of his career and he's doing everything right. On the defensive end, on the offensive end, he's playmaking, he's scoring. And it's sad to see that someone that's on this level gets injured on the biggest stage. It is really sad. But those Phoenix Suns will be good. They will get to win the first series. How they will get to win, I don't know. CP3 has to do better. Yeah, I know he's older, he's 36, but man, we saw you with a 30-point game in the first game. So, step up, man, step up. But props also to the Pelicans for them to pull off a win in the Valley. It is tough. Brandon Ingram, woo-hoo, woo-hoo. Lakers will be biting their fingers right now that they let all their youngsters go. And look at all the youngsters from the Lakers squad. D'Angelo Russell, Brandon Ingram, Julius Randle, Jordan Clarkson. These guys have turned out to be great players, solid players. To think that they lost that backup, but we can't say now. If they are staying in Lakers, maybe none of them will be All-Stars by now, or maybe one or two of them, but not four of them will be on that kind of level. The Lakers, they did some shit, man. But yeah, we know the Suns are winning. Probably 4-1, 4-2. At the 4-1. In fact, I'm going to say 4, because Devin Booker is not in. 4-2. 4-2. I'm going to touch on two more matchups before I round up this episode. And I should actually talk on every one of them, because it's exciting to watch, man. Utah Jazz Dallas. Game 2 was incredible. I was watching the game. I was like, man, Jalen Brunson is underrated. But the first game also was nice. I saw Donovan Mitchell do his thing. But that man doesn't pass to Rudy Gobert, man. And Rudy isn't even... He's not a post player. He gets feeds off what the guards do, the drop-offs and all that. He protects the rim. But the issue is, without Doncic on the squad, Mavs shouldn't have gotten as many open looks as they got in the second game. All props to Jalen Brunson and his 41-point game that was incredible. He dished out a few assists and made plays so easily. He's definitely underrated and he'll definitely get the bag in the offseason for sure. But yeah, I don't think they should have gotten those many looks from the three-point line. But I also understand having someone like Rudy Gobert in the paint, you tend to relax a little, let your man beat you off and, you know, try to rotate, knowing that Rudy is right under the bucket to swat everything. But there you go. You input Maxi Kleber on the wings and in the corners, and he goes for, how many did he go, 20-something? They have to do better. They have to do better. If Utah Jazz really wants to win this series, they've got to win the next two games before Luka gets back, because I think Luka will be back in game 5. The calf strain could be very annoying, but that man will really want to play. And when he comes back, it's going to be a whole different game. So they have to win the next two. The next two. I see Utah going through if they win the next two games. Miami is going to beat the Atlanta Hawks. It's going to be a 4-1 series. I'm calling it right now. Trae Young has been off in the first two games. And I know they play differently when they're back in the ATL. But damn. Trae Young. He went 2-for-13 in the first two games from the three-point line. You don't do that, man. You're the superstar. You are the superstar. You don't shoot that way. He had a better game in game 2. But still, it can't be enough, because everybody is a dog on that Miami team. Everybody's coming at you, and they are really, really good on defense. We got guys from the bench. Tyler Hero is stepping up. Duncan Robinson was the guy in game 1. You see Jimmy Butler coming up and giving us 45 in game 2. We had guys with that kind of mentality. And we also have to talk about the Miami Heat player development system. It is something that we really, really need to dig into, because those guys will pick up undrafted players, and in the next 2 years, you see them and you say, where did this guy come from? I remember watching Kendrick Nunn, and I'm like, why didn't this guy go undrafted? He was behind Trae Young in scoring when he was in college, and he went undrafted. What is going on? And you see those guys in Miami, and they look like superstars already. They fit right into the system. Anyway, that being said, 4-1, Philly is on their path to, you know, sweeping Toronto. I had a thread on the game. I think it was game 1. You can't do anything about Embiid. You have to account for other players. Embiid is going to get his 40 piece, and there's no one on the Toronto team that can guard him. Now, if Toronto wants to win a game, everybody on the perimeter, every wing player, have to turn up. They have to get like 20, 15 collective effort, every one of them. From Van Fleet should have like 30 points. Siakam could have like 30, and OG could get like 15, 18. Precious has to get 15. Boucher has to get like 5, 10. Everyone has to step up for you to win against them, because Joel Embiid on his own is a force. James Harden is not playing to his superstar level, quote unquote. But it's been okay. We can't even talk so much about him because Joel Embiid is doing his shit. We got Maxi, who has stepped up incredibly. Now, you have to look on the other side and see, Ben Simmons, what's going on? What's going on? He ain't back yet. But yeah, it looks like a sweep. It really does look like a sweep. Next game, we'll probably know what goes on. And Joel Embiid has said it. He's coming. He told Drake, I'm coming for the sweep as well. Drake was smiling, but deep down, man, is on it. Oh man, final one I'm gonna just touch on real quick, and that's gotta be the Chicago Bulls and the Milwaukee Bucks. First and foremost, I've got to tell people this. I said it, we've had an episode on this. What people say about the mid-range, that it's extinct, it's going out of fashion. If you're unable to make a mid-range shot, in today's game, with all the threes flying, and you want to play at the high level, my brother, you only last for a while. DeMar DeRozan's mid-range game is from heaven. Like, God just gave it to him and said, bros, this is all you need to be successful in the NBA. Take it and just excel in it. Brother, guy sets up his defenders well. He gets to his spot. He knows what angle he wants to shoot at. He knows how to get his defenders off him. He knows how to create just that little space to get a shot off. And it's always in the mid-range. Bruh, that is a gift. That is a gift. The most cerebral players in the league today, if dated back till since when the league started, the most cerebral players are those guys who have mastered the art of scoring on three levels: getting to the rim, the midi, and the three-point line. All the best players that have played in the league have these three things when it comes to scoring. It is also going to be a very good series. Milwaukee Bucks is definitely coming on top. I'll give Chicago another game. But with Chris Middleton out, it's going to be a little tougher. We know Giannis is always going to be Giannis. Some other guys got to step up. Drew's got to do better offensively. Brook Lopez also has to do better offensively. But they've got to get their shit together because those Bulls boys are coming. They're coming, and if they really want it, they could get it. Vucevic is not a bitch. DeMar DeRozan is a dog. Caruso, we all know who that man is. We've seen him take hits from the biggest, strongest guys. One of the best perimeter defenders that we got. So they got to step up if they really want to win. But yeah, I get Bucks on that one. 4-2. But yeah, that's about it, man. I just wanted to talk a little, let some things off my head. I really can't do this on Threads anymore like I used to because, man, work plenty for man, but you know, we have to keep growing as a brand, and as the show continues to grow, we're extending to other things as well. Thanks for tuning in as always. Thank you for showing us support. Please check out our website. It's theflatoutshow.com. Tell us what you think. How does the design look? How does the interface look? Still a few things to put in place. But yeah, like I said, we're growing. Till next time, people. To the next playoff game. Stay safe. Stay frosty. Flat out.